Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study, Galatians chapter 1, we were taught that we should never give up praying for those that we are trying to bring to the Lord. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
No word will fall to the ground and return void. And what a change in James. He rejects Jesus Christ, his own fleshly brother, so to speak, here on earth, who lived a life of faith in front of James. And the one he rejected after the resurrection, it so affected James that he not only grew in faith, but he became a pillar of the church. And the head, as we see in Acts chapter 15, of a council of pastors of local churches. Now, he was not saved by the ministry of Jesus before the cross. But after the resurrection, praise God, that's why the resurrection is so important. There may be someone in your family or your friendship, you're thinking, man, they are so hard. They rejected all that I have said and done, and they won't have anything to do with it. Don't give up on them. Even growing up with Jesus, it took this dear apostle, that is James, some time to come around. There are some people that have been saved after the one who had been praying for them died. I've been fortunate enough to see that happen in various funerals that I've done. And see children of somebody get saved. And I know that parent had been praying for them for some time and asked me, make sure you preach the gospel at my funeral. And so don't give up. Don't give up. I believe the resurrection influenced James, and why would it not? After the beating of the Roman cat of nine tails, all the various beatings they gave him, the nails, the time on the cross, to raise 3 days later and have only the scars, and to be made completely whole in 3 days, he knew that was an impossibility unless he is the Son of God. My friend, he is the Son of God. So, it can happen for you that way as well. God may allow some catastrophic event or another major life-changing event into your loved one's life. But that event may be the very thing that God has allowed, as catastrophic as it may be, to bring your loved one to Christ, to result in the salvation of their souls. Now think again with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8, and the Apostle James, what he saw. And there, in telling us what the gospel is, it says here, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, now listen to this, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, that is of Paul, as one born out of due time. Now, what I find so interesting in that very passage is the fact that the Apostle Paul mentions James there, and James saw him. And it's a specific, it's almost like it is an individual thing. And oh, the importance of that as it will crop up down through the church age that this thing happened. So, now we see who Paul went to Jerusalem to see. Now next, we want to see what happened. What happens after that? Again, that's verse 20 and 22. So in verse 20, it says this, "Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not." Now I find that interesting. He says, "I lie not." He reminds them he's not lying to them, and he states that before God, that he lies not. Now, you say, why would a person say that? And we do that. Hey, I'm not lying to you. This is what happened. Hey, that's exactly what I said. I'm not lying to you. Well, we've heard that many times, haven't we? Well, the purpose of this statement here was to prevent all suspicion of falsehood. So he confirms that everything he just said and is about to say is true, and he does so by a solemn oath. Before God, I lie not. You see, they're not able to check the story with anyone who could affirm to its truth. So he makes this an oath before God. In other words, he's calling on God to punish him if he's lying. Now, there are those today who would say that. And they would say, yeah, well, hey, if I'm lying, let God strike me right now. And they'd do that because they lack faith that God would actually do that to them. They actually think there's no consequence to saying that just to gain an advantage is all that is doing. But that borders on either agnosticism, which says, well, there is a God, but he has nothing to do with this. Or atheism, which says there is no God. And a person that says that in the guise of the things of the Lord is a guy that is a false prophet. And I'd be very careful about invoking the name of God before I would say, if I'm lying, let him strike me. Now, when you are able, always check out a person's story. The call for you to make a decision or a change based on what they're saying. And when there's not a way to confirm it, and there cannot be a way, as in the case of Paul being in the wilderness for 3 years, then you ask God to show you in your spirit. The late Paul Harvey told the story of a teacher who had four boys who were late for a test. And they told her that they were detained by a flat tire. One of the boys had grease on him and figured that would prove it to her that, yeah, they had a flat tire and he changed. And she was willing to let them make up the test if this indeed had happened. So she gave them each a piece of paper. And she had them go to the four corners of the room and turn their backs toward one another. She told them they would pass if they would answer one question. But they would be counted as zero if they turned and looked at each other at all. And the question that she had and she gave to ask him was this, which tire was flat? Well, those boys are caught then. And if they're lying, they're caught. Well, we'll find many at the judgment who may have fooled us and fooled us all, but they did not fool God. And so, can I be fooled? Yes, I need to walk with God. So when he says no, I can respectfully say not right now to a person. Now, verse 21 then, just takes it right there, where he says, afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. So he continues to give a history of what happened. He's giving a personal testimony about his being led of the Holy Spirit of God. And so, it is not wrong to give a personal testimony of how God worked in you and how he's worked through you. But be sure that you take and the glory and give it to God and not take the glory that's due to him unto yourself. Now, Paul spends a considerable amount of time in this region of Syria. He spent time there witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Cilicia was a province of Asia Minor, of which the capital was Tarsus, his hometown. You see, he had a zeal for his relatives. And maybe that's why we read in Acts 23:16, and when Paul's sister's son heard of the lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Obviously, that ministry in his hometown was very effective. And you know, sometimes it's hard to go back to family, and yet, if you love your family, you want them to get saved. You love those old friends, you want them to get saved, and so you go back and you try to witness the gospel to them. And by the way, that's another thing that you need to know about missionaries. If they're not faithful to their church, they're not soul winners, they're not witnessers, they're not the ones that go out on visitation, they're not serving the Lord in their local church, don't support them to go to a foreign field and be lazy. Okay? Let them prove themselves, and then let them go. That takes us into verse 22, where he says, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. So because he was ministering for those 3 years and then went to Syria and Cilicia, the churches there in Judea didn't really get to know him and understand. The church began in Jerusalem. When I say began, Christ actually started the church. It was his thing, but we see the manifestation of the formation of the local church and so forth, beginning there in Acts chapter 2.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.